The kids begged for a hamster. They promised to feed it, to clean up after it, to take care of it. After protesting, Mom finally gave in, and they brought home Danny, their new hamster. And the kids helped out at first. They cleaned and they fed him. But after a month or so, inevitably, it was just Mom doing all the work. So Mom made arrangements for a new home. She gathered the kids together for an announcement. She said, "I'm sending Danny to a new home because I'm the only one who feeds him and I clean up after him. Now we're going to miss him, but Danny has to go." And the kids started crying. They started protesting, "But we're going to miss him. You know, well, maybe if he didn't eat so much, I could feed him. I could help and I can clean up after him." And the tears were flowing from their eyes and they were begging Mom, but she didn't want to prolong the inevitable. She said, "Listen, it's time for Danny to go get his cage and get in the car." And the kids started laughing. They said, "Danny, we thought you said Daddy has to go." And she said, "That's what I meant, get his cage." Father's Day is a day where we recognize the value of dads and their important role in our lives, raising a child, being a building block and a foundation of society. You know, Father's Day has been celebrated for thousands of years. Archaeologists have actually dug up a clay tablet from Babylon that was a Father's Day card, well wishes from a son to his father on Father's Day. And in our country, we can thank the official holiday to a woman named Sonora Smart Dodd. She was what we might call the mother of Father's Day. She lived in Spokane, Washington. At age 27, she was in church like this in 1909. And she heard a Mother's Day message. And she began to think of all that her dad had done to raise her and her siblings. For you see, when she was 16 years old, her mom suddenly passed away, leaving six children behind, including a baby boy. And their father was a Civil War veteran, and he did everything to raise those kids. And so Sonora thought, shouldn't he be honored and celebrated for his sacrifice for us? If there's a day for moms, how about dads? And so she started a campaign. And over time, it was embraced. At first, they laughed at her, but she was undaunted. And with the help of some pastors and the YMCA, Spokane, Washington was the first city to celebrate Father's Day. It was June 19th, 1910. Now, she went on to push this campaign. She wanted it for the 5th of June. That was her birthday. She wanted to celebrate her dad on her birthday. But they didn't have enough time, so it became the third Sunday of the month. Later, President Calvin Coolidge liked the idea, and then Lyndon Johnson signed a presidential declaration saying that the third Sunday in June is Father's Day. Finally, President Nixon declared it to be a national holiday. And here in the scripture, we see good reason why we ought to honor our fathers. Let me read for you from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Paul the Apostle says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." And then instructions for fathers in verse 4. "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." Now, if you know anything about the book of Ephesians, you'll maybe wonder, like I do, why after all of the flying to such spiritual heights in chapters 1 through 3, would Paul come down to what seems to be pedestrian commandments like do the right thing and tell the truth and don't steal and honor your mom and dad and clean your room and brush your teeth? Well, actually, that's not in there, but it seems like he has been, for the first three chapters, talking about these incredible theological truths. He's been talking about how God has lovingly adopted us and how we've been mercifully forgiven and destined to drink the glory of the exceeding riches of God's grace in heaven. There are incredible things in these first three chapters. And then after all that soaring into the theological wonder, he comes down with such mundane, almost blue-collar commandments in chapters 4 through 6, the second half. You know, don't steal, tell the truth, these kinds of things. And it makes us wonder, well, maybe these aren't just suggestions, but they are commands with the spiritual heaviness of these wonderful truths about what God has done for us. That in response to the fact that God has given us his son, that he's paid the price for our sins, that he's adopted us into heaven, that we have a future and a hope, then these commands take on a new light. They have incredible value and importance. And that's what he says here, that children ought to obey their parents. Now, first we see what it says there, that what we are called to do. Notice what it says first, children, obey your parents. Now, that's not just for little kids. That's for grown-up kids as well. There's an obedience that is required of us. Now, this word obey means obviously that you do what they tell you to do, but the real root of the word means to listen. It's the Greek word to hear, to hearken. And so it's not just obedience that we do for our parents. It's listening and learning and heeding advice and paying attention to their teaching and example. It's valuable. Mark Twain says, when I was 13, my father was an idiot. By the time I was 21, I realized how much he had learned. Fathers have that advice and that wisdom for us. Now, secondly, it says there in verse 2, honor your father. Honor your father and mother. And today's a day that we honor dads. Now, to honor means to respect. It means to hold in high esteem, to value greatly. In fact, that's exactly what the word honor means. It means value. It means precious. It has to do with price. And the reason that we value fathers is because it costs a lot to be a father. It costs a lot to be a father. It's an expensive emotional task. Now, an unknown poet once said, becoming a father is easy enough, but being one can be pretty rough. For to sire a child is easy, it's true, but to live as a dad is harder to do. So dads need honor because of what they do. It's interesting how often the word honor is used in association with worship to God. Not that we worship our fathers, but we honor God and we also honor our fathers. And by honoring our earthly father, we are honoring our heavenly father. Remember how Jesus criticized and rebuked the Pharisees for claiming that they honored their parents, but they didn't really. And Jesus said that they dishonored God. Now, there are a number of reasons for us to honor our father here this morning. Three reasons in particular. Number one, notice what it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's the right thing to celebrate fathers. It's the right thing to celebrate dads. Obey your parents because it's right. Now, we're not talking about little kids here. Adults need to do the right thing as well. But notice the qualifier. It says, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, some of you don't have godly parents, but you need to obey them or honor them because of the Lord, because you love the Lord. Now, this also means that if your dad tells you to go, you know, steal $1 million, you don't obey. You honor them or you obey them in as much as it is right. If they tell you the wrong thing to do, don't do that. But honor them and obey them in the Lord. Now, you might not have a father that's honorable, but you give obedience to them because the Lord has worked in your life. It's the right thing to do. Honor your dad. And secondly, notice why we honor is because it's a commandment of the Lord. In verse 2, it says, it's the first commandment with promise. Now, honor your father and mother is the fifth commandment in the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai. And so honoring your father and honoring your mother is not just a time-honored tradition. It's not a cultural norm. It's an order from heaven. It is not optional. Honoring dads pleases our dad in heaven. And then lastly, I want you to notice that there is a promise attached to honoring your dad. Notice what it says in verse 2. It's the first commandment with promise. All of God's other commandments were just orders with some explanation. But this is the commandment that God says, I'll promise you something with it. This is the one that promises a blessing with it if you obey it. Notice what it says the blessing is in verse 3. From Deuteronomy chapter 5, as God speaks through Moses, he says, that it may be well with you. So if you honor your dad, it's going to be well with you. You're going to have a blessed life. Now, it's not going to mean that it's going to be easy or you're not going to have hard times or trials, but God promises and attaches a blessing to this commandment that it will go well with you. Things are going to go well for you as you honor your father. And also, he adds, secondly, that you may live long on the earth. Now, when God gave this commandment to the Jews in the Old Testament, he was promising that they would dwell in the promised land on the earth, the land, for a long time. They wouldn't be uprooted. They wouldn't be taken away. But here in the New Testament, it seems to indicate that there is a hope of a long life connected to it. So how many of you want to have a blessed long life? I do. Well, honor your dad. Now, for you dads, we have some instruction. We love the fact that dads get honor, but there is a way to be honorable. in the world, sometimes it's hard to find honorable role models. But here are a couple of ways in the scripture for us to be an honorable father. Notice what Paul says to the fathers in verse 4. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Now, to provoke means to exasperate or to frustrate. It's to drive them beyond their ability. Now, being a parent can be hard. It takes patience and it takes grace. And sometimes you can get angry with your kids. Did I hear somebody say amen? And as parents, we can push them too hard or we can try to motivate them too harshly, sometimes because it's our reputation on the line. We want them to take first place and get straight A's and succeed so that I look good. And sometimes that pressure on a kid can drive them to wrath. Don't provoke them to wrath. It's an interesting Greek phrase there that Paul uses, both provoke and wrath. It's one word that they split in English to help us understand the word. And the real idea is don't anger them to anger. It's the word anger. Don't frustrate them. I've done this with my kids before. Homeschooling. Boy, teaching my kids math. Ask them about it. It's a monumental event in our household. The fist pounding. Listen, you can have such great expectation for your kids, but just remember, they're little kids. He's just a little boy. She's just a little girl. And sometimes we have these great dreams for them, and we will drive them for our own glory. Many kids have been driven away or burnt out by a parent trying to live vicariously through them. They're screaming and fighting on the sidelines at their six-year-old soccer game because they were too fat and lazy to play themselves. And they're so intense about it, but they can frustrate or exasperate those kids. There's a better way to motivate kids. He says, don't provoke them to wrath. There's another passage that's similar. Paul says to the Colossians in chapter 3:21, he says, fathers, don't provoke your children lest they become discouraged. That is to lose heart, to lose soul, to not desire to do it for themselves. And that can happen through overzealous pressuring and demands, but sometimes it can happen subtly through the quiet abuse of neglect. You know, there's a dad that's never involved. He's never around. He always seems to be too busy with his work or with his hobbies. He never has time for the kids. And God has been called the father who is always home. And so dads need to be around for their kids to encourage them. But then Paul adds there in verse 14, the contrast to provoking them to wrath. He says, but instead, or rather, bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Bring them up. That's a great word there, to bring them up. The contrast to driving them to wrath or frustration, bring them up means to raise up, to nourish, to oversee their development. The old King James says nurture. It's a great translation. Now, dads are called to be firm, but gentle, a guide for their kids, a role model, and an example. Training means nurturing, discipline, instruction. It's the word paido, actually. Training is the Greek word paido, where we get the word pediatrician or pedagogy, which means teaching. Now, this means dads have to be involved. They're not just the stumbling buffoons that we see on TV, stereotyped. The idiots that can't get anything right the way the world wants us to see them. No, they are the teachers. And dads, you are the greatest teacher that a kid will ever have. Someone once said, my father didn't tell me how to live. He lived. And he let me watch him do it. So today we honor dads for who they are and what they do. And dads, we exhort you to stand fast for your kids, to be a teacher and a guide, an exhorter and a model, not to drive them too hard, but to guide them, to lead them and encourage them. So at this time, we want to close in prayer, and I'm going to ask Zach and the worship team to come on back up. Father, thank you for your word to us this morning on fathers. And Lord, I know whenever we have a message designed for one portion of our congregation or one specific demographic, so many people may feel left out. And yet, Lord, it is true that we all have a father. Nobody's here without a father. And yet, Lord, there's so many different situations. Some who never knew their father. Some who had a father who was abusive. Others who had a father who was so perfect. And even others maybe that that just have difficulty thinking back to their childhood. And Lord, how hard it is for so many people here this morning to relate to you as a father when the only example they had maybe was somebody that was absent or dismissive or a taskmaster. But Lord, we come back to the truth that you are truly our heavenly Father. And we would like to honor you today. We'd like to bless you and thank you for being our guide, our teacher. Thank you that you never provoke us to wrath or frustration. You never drive us too hard. And yet you're constantly teaching us, raising us up in the admonition and the training of the Lord. And so, Lord, this morning we thank you that you are good. And as we continue now in a period of prayer and worship, we ask God that you would hear our voices and that, Lord, we would enter into your presence in a special way. That as we pray for your Spirit to move in our community, God, that you would hear from heaven and that you would answer, or that you would work mightily in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray.